Welcome back again, Fire Tribe. How are we doing, guys?
I'm good.
You doing?
We're doing.
I love it. Game week 30. Game week 30. Player picks. It's going to be good. I'm excited for this one.
Are you?
I am, because we had all the blanks last week. So it's harder to pick around some of these players. We missed out on some of our favorite guys, Crystal Palace players. We loved him. So we couldn't pick any of them. So I'm excited to talk about some of those guys today. But I don't know, man. I'm just loving life right now. Season coming to an end. A lot of the finals are happening. Like, we're getting some of these big tournaments. March Madness for the Americans out there is coming. I'm jazzed about sports
right now. St. Paddy's Day this weekend?
St. Paddy's Day was, technically it was yesterday. We celebrated on the weekend here.
Yeah.
But technically the real day was yesterday. I'm just jazzed up, boys. I'm just jazzed up.
No Duquesne in the tournament this year.
Yeah, our school's not very good. So
your school sucks. Worcester, on the other hand.
D3 tournament. It's a big draw.
They are the winningest basketball team in the history.
Of
college, I'm pretty sure.
D3,
no,
maybe?
No, of all divisions.
That just can't be true.
Why wouldn't it be true?
How many reasons do you need?
Yeah, we can just go through the list. Bring that to us next week. Look that up.
I don't trust
you.
Bring
it to us next week.
But you have to realize if a team's really good in Division 3, they're probably going to win more games than a team that's really good in Division 1.
It's just...
That
just
not arguing
make sense
with that.
At all, but
yeah.
It all is.
So they
just don't.
They have the winningest percentage.
No, I reject your premise.
The winningest percentage.
No.
Yeah, what
is? I reject your premise.
Highest
first
winning
of all.
Percentage.
You're acting like if Kentucky went down to D3, if Kentucky was in D3, they'd win every game. Worcester is even to that competition. They're getting the same even style players. They're not getting D1 players.
That's how freaking good Worcester basketball was.
Okay. I had a guy from my high school go there, and he wasn't good, so.
He didn't play.
I hope your friends that went to Worcester are watching.
They're probably like half of the audience. Yeah. So there you go. All right.
None of my friends
all right,
play
all right, all right,
basketball.
All right. Game. Let's talk about our game week 30 team, Dave. Let everyone know where's our thought process going into the week for our fireside team.
Yeah. So some adjustments to the lineup from last week since we have some more people available now. We're going to switch from Sells to Verbruggen in nets. Verbruggen has Villa at home. Sells is United at home. That one's close, but we're going Verbruggen for now. The back line is going to be Kerkez, Milenkovic, and Munoz. Munoz gets Southampton. Kerkez gets Ipswich. So we like that.
Spicy.
In the midfield, we did make one transfer.
We're cooking, boys. We're cooking this week.
We did make one transfer. We got rid of Savinho after his goose egg and brought in Ismail Assar again for that game against Southampton. Saul is back for us, which is nice. And he joins Kluivert, Matoma, and Bumo in our 3-5-2. And then Wood and Haaland up front. And we're going to captain Haaland at home against Leicester since they're bad.
Choo-choo, Chris Wood, please.
Choo-choo.
Please this week, choo-choo.
And choo-choo train.
No. So. That's good.
That's likely what it'll be, but since there's an international break, there's some time. But
a lot of time.
That's what we're doing for right now.
That's where we're at right now as a day of recording. That's what we're going with. Like you said, a lot can change. We're really gearing up for the wild card week, though. We're holding on to some of our transfers. We're not doing crazy moves because we want to wait for that wild card week, which could be next week.
Before game week 31.
Yeah.
Probably, so, but it's TBD.
TBD.
Yeah,
TBD,
don't rush
depending
us, man.
On the schedule. I would
don't
never rush
us.
All right, Dave. Get it going again on the transfers. I'm guessing.
Back to you, Dave.
I'm going to assume there's not a lot to talk about considering we're about a week and a half out from even having any games.
Yeah, we're recording this, way in advance of when game week 30 actually happens, so this stuff will change. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But Bruno, as last week, he is the number one transferred in player so far. He's been cooking for big returns in his last four. Marmoush is number two. The Moosh is Loosh.
No,
Loosh is Loosh.
The Egyptian Prince. That's what we go. I like that too, though. I like both of those.
Moosey?
He scored, and they play Leicester, like we mentioned. So that one makes a lot of sense.
Also got an assist off that PK.
He did. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of guys. Nikola Milenkovic, a goal and an assist for Forest. He's on the ins list, and then a bunch of guys who are coming off of their blank game week: Salah, Sar, Munoz, Alexander Isak, after he scored the winner against Liverpool in the cup final.
What game? What a game. What a win for them. You could say they got burned.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
Yeah. But the outs, we could skip. Cole Palmer is number one. That's not a surprise because he's been bad and now he's hurt.
Trash.
Trent is also hurt, and I think he's going to be hurt for a while. Slot said he expects him to be back before the end of the season, which is an ominous
I also don't need him, though.
Thing to say. So I think he's going to miss some time. So he's on the outs. And then some random guys, Hall, Wood, Beto, and Mbeumo, Matheus Cunha are on the outs. But again, this is all going to change over the next week and a half.
And on the Trent piece, not going to be surprised if he doesn't play again this season. The only thing they have left to play for now is the EPL, and that's it's not guaranteed, but it looks to be fairly wrapped up.
It's a lock. It's a lock.
So, you know, if they don't have to push him, they very well may not push him. So we'll see. Yeah. Not that it matters right now, but we shall see.
Did anything in the transfers say that Worcester owns the third best winning percentage of any NCAA team, all divisions of the 2000s, with a success rate of 812? Win percentage?
Let me look.
Did you just create a Wikipedia page and write that in just now?
That's how good I am.
That's impressive.
Oh yeah, it does say down here at the bottom that hold on, I can't read it. It says I didn't ask. That's right. Oh! Oh!
Oh! Give me one. Come on! Damn. We're not cutting that out. That stays.
We go ballless.
People got to know that sometimes we get a little intense in here.
I'll take the blame for aggravating Phil.
This show
is a physical sport.
We go ballless now.
Problem is that ball is flat. I can't get it back to you. It just hits the head and just caves in on me.
I have to say your technique was lacking.
Well,
if that's your excuse, brother.
I got my over 30s old man league hopefully coming up soon. Works. I got to get practicing.
Cam didn't shake up or this episode is going to be a wild one.
All of our episodes are wild ones.
The camera's fine. We're fine.
But, we finished the transfer outs and whatever nonsense Phil's talking about. But we should talk about players that we actually like.
Player picks, yeah. Let's start with a guy that I love this week. Someone who I think he's a must-have if you're not interested in paying up for Gvardiol. Rico Lewis. He's kind of fallen off the radar. So he's fallen off the radar for good reason. I think he had a nice run, but hasn't really done much since. He's playing Leicester, though, and we have now found out that they are the worst offensive team I've seen in a very long time. And maybe they score a goal. If they do, that's fine. But statistically, this is the best chance for any team at a shutout this week. I agree. He's got the cheaper price tag, too. Yeah. I don't foresee him scoring a goal or getting an assist. Maybe, but I doubt that happens. It's really a shutout play, like we did with De Ligt last week. Yeah. Pretty much a shutout play. I mean, you didn't like the player. You didn't like when I said it. You gave me a face. So what? You not
he's
like
just
him?
Been, I've just hated Rico Lewis since like game week 11. But no, fair. No. That's everything fair. You're saying is extremely accurate, and I love it.
Damn, I needed that today. Wow. I did need that.
Yeah.
But I like my defender recommendation better than yours, Sean. Not that I don't like Rico Lewis.
No, I think that's fine. Rico Lewis also differential. I didn't mention that, but he is a differential guy, 4.3%. So, you know.
Hey, Sean, what do shut Dave up?
I appreciate that.
This clown over here trying to shut you down.
So you got a guy you think is better than my guy.
Yeah. Danny Munoz.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. No, zero arguments. I think he's the number one.
I really had to dig deep for that one.
Yeah, honestly.
But,
yeah, everyone out there, you probably don't even know that name at this point. Mm-hmm. He's so sneaky.
Play Southampton, and as we've all mentioned, he's pretty attacking inclined. So,
yeah, I like my defender pick even more than yours.
Wait, I want to comment on Munoz first. I want to give some comments in that.
Kirkus plays it, which has it at home.
Wait. Just give it a second.
Okay, what are you going to say about Munoz?
All I want to say is he's second in expected involvement, last eight. For the people out there who maybe, how much is he owned right now?
15.4%.
15.4%? Is that accurate?
Staring at you guys.
That's 15.5, Phil.
That's close, though. And that's pretty high. That's pretty high, but, I mean, there's a couple of defenders still above him, which whatever, do what you want. But I think Munoz, I think we all think Munoz is easily the top three right now. Last eight game weeks, 2.2 expected involvement. Only Trent is higher than that. No one else is frankly even that close to that expected involvement. Like you said, matchup is against Southampton. Easy matchup. You know how many times Southampton's been shut out this season?
A lot.
12. Woo. They've been shut out 12 times this season, is a lot of shutouts. And Crystal Palace, which I think is kind of going unnoticed just in general outside of FPL, a lot of people have them ranked as the third best defense in the league right now, behind Liverpool, of course, and Arsenal. That's pretty good, I would say, for a team. I mean, like, I knew they were good, but I didn't know people were putting them up that high. The last thing I want to say, I had to dig deep for this stat. Southampton has given up the second most set piece goals on the season with 16. What does Munoz have a good opportunity to do and score off of? Set pieces. So for me, that is a prime opportunity to get a goal off a set piece if you're playing against a team that basically gives them up every time they step on the field.
Does Munoz take set pieces for them?
Well, no, but I'm saying he'd be, if we're talking corners, if we're talking, you know, balls into the box.
Some.
Does he actually take some? Set even better.
Corners.
Oh, corners, yeah.
Some. But I like all Palace assets, like Henderson, Gay, Mateta, if he's back. Even if you want to go really differential and go with Eze, they're all pretty viable this week.
All right, Phil, I cut you off.
No, it's okay.
We got another. We got one more defender we want to talk about. We got one more defender to talk about on the ins here. Go for it.
I mean, it's another obvious one. It's Kirkez. They play Ipswich at home. He has three games in a row with an assist. He might be
fantastic.
He might be the best wing back in the world. Like,
I was just gonna say, he feels like the kind of player who was probably a mid at some point, and a coach said, "Hey, let's bring him back and see what happens." He's got some skills.
I would love him on Madrid, to be honest. He's an absolute freak.
He should go to a team that needs wing backs.
Madrid.
The only worry for Kirkez, though, the only worry for Kirkez is he has that contract that came in from the WWE. They're trying to pick him up, so he may switch sports after that headbutt that Cunha gave him.
That was a good attempt.
I mean,
stick to the Munoz stats.
Yeah, I tried. Sorry. You know, I'm going to be a dad soon. I got to practice jokes. No. I got to practice the jokes, you know?
That was decent.
Yeah,
okay, but Kirkez. Nice
now, but that's fine.
He's just been incredible. I think it's an obvious one. Easy chance at a clean sheet. I think he's only 18% owned, so he's also a guy I'm surprised more people don't have him, especially with his cheaper price tag. So look him up. Pick him up if you don't have him.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the – I'll look it up while we're talking. I have a chart that I use sometimes. I want to see the ownership numbers, the percent owned for some of these players. Like, we're talking Kirkez, Munoz, and these guys aren't even in the top three, I don't think, of defensive players owned right now, which is kind of
nuts,
crazy to me.
I think you're right. It's a lot of the Arsenal guys. Here, I can tell you in a second.
They're high 20s.
Yeah, probably. Gabriel, Aina, Trent, Robinson, Saliba, Guardiol, Van Dijk. Pedro Porro is more owned than Kirkez and Munoz.
We were high on Porro at the beginning.
And then we came to our senses. But yeah, they're still, I mean, they're in the top, like 10th or 11th. So, but there are a number of guys ahead of them that should be highly owned over. Excuse me.
No, you're good. You're excused. I love the Kirkez, Munoz, and Milinkovic staple we got going right now because it's so cheap.
It's hot.
And they're so good.
It's hot.
And you can spread the love with your finances to other positions on the field.
That's very true.
Yeah. All right. Did you find your chart? Because Dave already went through it.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking still, but he's right. Yeah. It's just crazy to me that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a wild, wild concept. All right. That's all the defenders I think we have for picks that are in. So let's move on to some midfielders right now. A guy that I'm a big fan of. I think he kind of came onto the scene this year. He's been doing really well, but he's going to stick with that Crystal Palace team we have. We just love Crystal Palace assets, I think, this week. And that's Sarr. That's Sarr. He is, I think, so the one thing I'll say is I do think Mateta, we don't know for sure yet, but what I read was he's going to try and play in that first match they have, I think March 20th, 29th. I don't know what tournament it's for. They have a tournament game. Do you know what tournament it's for?
That's the FA Cup quarterfinals.
FA Cup quarters, yeah. So he's maybe going to try and come back for that game. If he doesn't, I would think he'll be back for the next EPL game. So I do think that hurts Sarr a little bit. You two seem to be indifferent on that opinion of mine.
I think Mateta's presence helps their attack as a whole.
I hear you on that. I think it takes opportunities. I think there's
pros and cons to Mateta not playing when it comes to Sarr, but
I think price-wise, he's just he just falls into that perfect price. We have him on our team this week, right? You saw that. I think he's just too cheap of an option, and he just creates enough that I think he's going to be a threat.
I think he's the guy kind of like we talked about Elanga in our last episode. Like, he's not going to consistently perform for you.
Right.
But if you time it right, look at the matchups, look at their form, and again, time it right, he's a really cheap option that's going to get or produce for you. So
he's,
I think this
he's in form now.
He's in 15, form now.
15, so I think it's this is the time to do it.
They're playing Ipswich at or sorry, Southampton. They're playing Southampton away. So like those two things add up to a good opportunity to get a return.
Expect an involvement in the last two games. If you average it out, it's right around 2, which is very good. And like you said, Phil, man, what a schedule. Jeez, Ipswich right in the Southampton. That's nice. So I think we love him this week. I think if you are looking for a midfielder at a cheaper price, you're trying to find someone to fit in. I don't know if there's anyone. Maybe Kluivert is a decent option. But in that price range right now, I think he's one of the best options you're going to have. That's all the midfielders we have.
Entertain through them.
This guy, I got a guy. It's a personal one. I want to hear your guys' opinion on it because I'm a little torn. I think he's going to be a good option this week, but I'm also a little nervous, and maybe my nervousness is something just not to worry about. But Evan Nielsen.
Okay.
So, yeah, right. Dave's on. Right. I like him. Obviously, the Ipswich matchup is amazing. So he just came back from injury. Since coming back from injury, 0.9 involvement, 0.53 involvement. It's pretty solid for a guy who just came back from a long-term injury. But my worry, and this is where I want your opinion, is with a team like Bournemouth, there's a lot of Kirk, as we just talked about him, Kluivert, we just talked about him. I know Dango has kind of lost that spot, but he still gets on the field. Semenyo, another guy. There's a lot of guys on the team that produce a lot of chances. Do you think all those guys kind of take away from the chances that Evan Nielsen might get? There's some teams like Cole Palmer, for example. Chelsea's got like one, maybe two guys that are going to have good chances to score. This team's got like 3-4. So I'm worried that maybe, you know, a game like what Forrest just had, they get 4 goals and he's not involved like Wood was.
Nah.
You don't think?
Don't be worried about that. They're a really good attacking team.
They are a really good attacking team. What do you think, Phil? Do you think the mouths to feed comes into play here or no?
I think when it comes to forwards, not as much. If you were talking to me about a midfielder, then that's when you get a little more nervous, because just depending on the game, a midfielder might sit a little more back or be a little more forward, just be more in tune with the game. But when you're that number nine guy or that forward guy for a team and you're their number nine, I don't think you can worry about that too much, because you're going to be the guy who's closest to the goal 99% of the time.
He's the number nine on a good attacking team with a great matchup.
You love that.
So,
yeah, I think you're right. I think I get a little nervous just because he hadn't played in so long, so he kind of lost track of how good he can be. I mean, before he left, he was having a solid season. He had a couple bigger games there. So
he scored against Spurs.
I mean, he's talented, right? They didn't buy him because they didn't think he was going to score goals. Right?
Your concern is valid. Like, Bournemouth, everyone's been producing, but I don't think you can really go in with that mentality with a number nine player.
Okay.
That's why I wouldn't worry about it as much.
All right, so consensus. We love Evan Nielsen. That's a 5.6 million again. A lot of my concern gets wiped away when I see a 5.6 million price tag, to your point, on a really good attacking team. So I think we love Evan Nielsen this week. Guy that definitely worth picking up. And let's end the ins with a team. More of a team versus a player. What do we think of the City Boys?
Well,
that sounds like it'd be a Broadway play. Whoa. The City Boys.
The City Boys.
They play that AAA team that's in
AAA
Premier League.
Team. The so, Division 3 team.
I like them. I mean, yeah, I think my like position on City now is like against good teams and even like mid-table teams that are in form like Brighton. I don't think you're going to get like the classic City performances that you're used to seeing, but I still think they can and will do it against the bad teams.
Bad.
And Leicester's bad. And so Haaland, Marmoush, Savio, Foden, maybe a little less Foden, but at least those first three I think are usable. I think you should be captaining Haaland this week like we're doing. I like all four of them.
Yeah. Right, well,
Guardiola too.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You got the cheap option, Savinho. You got the mid-range option. Marmoush, you can maybe go the riskier option with Foden, and then you got the lock with Haaland. So,
I think
your poison.
You know, I think if you have Haaland on your team, of course you're going to play him. He's probably, you know, just if we're going from a pure statistical standpoint, he's the best option. But let's take the other three into account here. So, what we got: Marmoush, Savinho, Foden. You choose him between those three this week. You want one of them. Who would you like to have? We're just talking this week. Who feels to you like is going to be the best of those three?
If you have the money, Marmoush. If you need a cheaper
option. Let's take money out of it, though. Let's just for this pure example, take the money
Moosh.
Out. You think Marmoush
Moosh.
Or Foden? Are we?
Let the Moosh loose!
Foden.
So we're kind of sold.
Foden is the one.
I think Foden, at least managers, I'll look it up here, but I think managers are probably still on the Foden train. Maybe not. 6.2% owned, so maybe people have moved fully over to Marmoush and left Foden in the dust. They have. He's 12.8% owned.
Foden hasn't started two of the last three games, so
yeah,
he gives me a little bit more concern. So I would, and he's more expensive. So
well, one of the reasons I asked is on the flip side, knowing how City has kind of operated this year and knowing they have such an easy matchup, is this going to be a case where now he says, all right, Foden, you're in, Marmoush, you're out, here's your rest? That's what I'm worried about.
I don't think he's going to bench Marmoush.
You don't think the great Pep is going to mix it up? You just never know with Pep, though.
I think Marmoush and Savio are pretty safe bets to start.
It's interesting you think Savio is a good bet to start.
I mean, who else are they going to play on the right? I don't think Bernardo Silva works out there anymore, but might be unfair to him. But I just think he's their best option on the right. So
he hasn't had 90 minutes. Well, he had 89 minutes in week 27, but he had 68 minutes in 28, 57 minutes in game week 29. So, I mean, if it's me, I don't know. I mean, Marmoush is the best option there, I think. So Haaland, Marmoush, and then the other two if you want to be a little different, if you want to mix it up, if you think one of these guys is going to have one of those pop-off weeks, you just have a feeling, those are probably the next two I would go with. But yeah, Marmoush, man, he looks dangerous.
He's silky.
If you watch that game, he looked
he's
their
quick.
Last game, man, he looked dangerous out there. Savinho also dangerous, just like a Semenyo version of dangerous, where he's never going to get a goal.
He's just a budget option.
They needed to change it up at that Brighton game, so.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. All right, so those are our player in picks for the week. Those are the guys we're really liking for game week 30. But we also got a couple to talk about on the outs this week,
School's
unfortunately.
School's out.
I don't like to be negative.
These guys.
Not anti-recommendations.
Dave, we're going to disagree on this one. I'm almost sure of it. So I'm just going to get us going here. A lot of people are going to disagree with me on this. It's just something that I just think it's going to happen, and I can't shake it. I think Mbeumo, for me, is an out this week, right? I know that sounds a little wild because I know he has been playing really well. He's the third best midfielder on the season, points-wise. He has been playing well recently. But before you disagree with me, and probably you too, because I know you both will, let me just give two reasons why I have this feeling, okay? Let me just give you two reasons. They play Newcastle.
True.
Newcastle is coming off a very emotional, a very hyped-up FA or EFL win against Liverpool. And I think they're going to walk into that stadium and just go crazy. I think all the emotion, I think they're going to come in firing on all cylinders. And I think that's going to be just something that weighs Mbeumo down a little bit. So that's one reason. Second reason is upcoming schedule for Mbeumo is really bad, and we're coming up against that double game week where if you have a wild card, you're going to use it. But if you don't have a wild card, you're probably going to have to start moving off players. And with those blanks and double game weeks, you're going to either want to pick up a bunch of players or drop a bunch of players. And you want to have him in the lineup going against these really good teams and using up free transfers when you need them for other people. Another reason that I'm saying that, last reason, actually a third special reason, he has played...
Special reason.
He's played... I don't know how much this matters, but it is a thing. He's played Newcastle 7 times in his career. He has 1 goal in 7 games. I'm not saying that that necessarily matters, but that's a thing. 1 goal in 7 games against a Newcastle team. So for those reasons, I'm just getting a weird feeling, the combination of Newcastle, all this. I'm out. I'm out on him this week.
Okay. You want to roast him?
I was going to say, one, he's got to do it.
Well, I disagree with you, and actually we skipped him, but I'm glad we did. One of my recommendations for this week is Yohan Wiese. He's quietly scored 3 goals in his last 4, but the reason I also don't have any issue using Mbeumo, Newcastle have given up 16 goals in their last 7 games. And they are not better at home than on the road. Because at home, they gave up 3 to Forest, 4 to Bournemouth, and 2 to Fulham recently. So, Brentford's schedule isn't great coming up. But, I don't have any issue playing Mbeumo against them. I don't think their emotional high is going to last for another two weeks until they play their next game in the Premier League. Wiese and Mbeumo are both in form. Their connection between the two of them looks really good right now. So, I think if you have Mbeumo, which we do and I do, we're going to stick with him. And I think if you don't have Wiese, I think he's a nice sneaky under the radar play this week. And they play Chelsea next week too, game week 31, which I don't care about. So I think Wiese is my sneaky wreck of the week.
One thing to do then. There's one thing to do.
Shake on it.
Let the people decide. If you're watching out there, tell us who's right on this one. You think Mbeumo's going to kill it this weekend? You think he's going to be a little shaky this weekend? Let's see what they say.
Newcastle are not as buttoned up defensively as they were early in the season.
Maybe we throw a Twitter poll out on that one. See what people think. Everyone's going to say,
I can fix that.
The heck are you throwing a Twitter poll? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you don't put the context behind it I gave you, it does sound kind of dumb. But with the context.
With the context, it's a thing.
It's a thing. All right. I put my glasses on because I'm old, remember?
Yeah, you can't see good.
I bet-o you guys don't know who's next on the outs.
I don't even want to be around.
Phil, can you take it over, man? I gotta go. I got somewhere to be.
Bet-o, it's kind of a bittersweet one because he has been one of the best performing cheap forwards out there for Everton. If you look at the last 5-6 weeks, he's up there in most FPL points. But he's hit that point where his fixtures do not look great. They played Liverpool away. I just don't think he's someone you would probably want on your team for this game. So for that reason, even though he is on an up, unless you can, I'm pretty sure the next fixtures are crazy too. So I was going to say, if you want to bench him for this week and play him next week, no. Get rid of him. We talked about it last week. He had two more, or the week before, he had two more good games, and then it's miserable. So get Beto off your team. He did great for you if you had him over the last 6-7 game weeks, but it's time to say goodbye.
I'm seeing red right now.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Arsenal, Forest, City, Chelsea. That's a lot of red on the schedule.
People were wondering why Everton was doing okay, probably because they were playing trash cans of teams.
They still have Ipswich and Southampton left, though. So
so getting back up in 4 or 5 weeks. But at this point, say adios to Beto.
Adios.
It's just not going to be smart. There's other better options out there. See you later, Precious.
Yeah, that's absolutely a move. And he's 7.7% owned, which for a player with a schedule like that on a team that's not that great, that's kind of a high percentage. So wouldn't be surprised we see more people moving off him. But I'm with you. I actually have him on my team, and I'm trying to find – I'm either going to bench him or I'm going to find a way to move off. I'm with you. I'm not playing him this weekend.
You got
to
do something.
You got to do something about that.
You got to move with it.
So we're going to go similar theme here to end it off. We're going to go with a team rather than a player.
I think I know what team it is.
City.
Oh. No, we already did City. Come on.
Our last,
that would confuse people.
Our last anti recommendation is all Arsenal attackers.
Zaganas. You're going to make Ryan. You know Ryan? You're going to make Ryan very upset.
Sorry,
with
Ryan.
This one.
Sorry, Ryan.
Turns out it's hard to score goals if you don't have forwards. It's not your fault. We all were like, which one of these Arsenal attackers that are going to play more now that everybody's hurt do we want? And the answer turned out to be not really any of them. I know Marino scored last game, but it was some fluky flicked header at the front post that floated in the back post.
He was definitely trying to play it back across. He was not trying to score that.
Yeah. So I just don't want any of them. They have not looked good at all unless they're playing PSV. They didn't really pose a huge threat to Chelsea. As a team, they were only 0.7 expected goals in that game. And in the it's been five games since all their forwards were hurt. In those five games collectively, their team expected goals is about, like, depending on which player you use, it's about 6.75, which is really bad. For reference, Brighton over the last five games, Brighton's around 12 with their players that play all the minutes.
Yeah.
Liverpool's in the 10s, Palace and Bournemouth are in the 9s, even Chelsea's at like 8. So it hasn't been good going forward for Arsenal. So I don't want any of those guys, even the cheap ones. And let me see.
While he's looking at that, Phil, could you be any more happier hearing this?
So no, actually no, but finish off.
No, I was just saying they play Fulham. And Fulham have been pretty solid defensively lately, too. So
yeah, they have.
Don't want any of the Arsenal guys.
I'll say in the EPL, they're going to score goals. You just don't know who's going to score. So anyone you pick up, to Dave's point, it's going to be risky. I think the other thing is they're pretty locked in they should be locked in for a Champions League spot unless they completely mess it up. So I don't think their focus is going to be as much in the EPL over the next month, but focusing on the Royal Whites, the best team in the history of football. They're going to take their foot off the gas pedal in the EPL for a bit. So that's another layer to why Arsenal just suck us without Saka.
Saka might be back for that UCL game, though, so watch yourself.
Yeah. Someone will kick him and hurt him, and the ref won't do much about it.
No, you lost all those players. Ramos is gone, man.
Have you seen a sensor?
You don't got. There's no one to break arms anymore.
There's plenty of guys to break arms on that team. Trust me.
Trust me. All right. That's all we got for you today. No questions. So we'll wrap it up here. I think it's a good wrapping point. I think
we talked
about a lot of players. So as always, find us on Instagram, X,
Twitter.
I just gotta let them have it, and Spotify, also YouTube. Obviously, if you're not watching us on YouTube right now, if you're listening on Spotify, find us on YouTube. And if you do, make sure to comment, like, subscribe. I mean, it's super duper
free.
Super duper free.
Do you know what that means? It doesn't cost you anything.
Doesn't cost a thing. In a world of high inflation, don't cost you a thing. So. You know, you got to take those opportunities when you get the chance.
I agree. Well said, man.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, leave the comments on the YouTube video. Reach out to us on Instagram, on X,
Twitter.
Hit us up. Leave comments, feedback. Ask us how we're doing. We really want to talk to people. And with that, we'll be back here same time, same place next week. We're going to do a chip strategy video because we are still in a break. So we're going to do some chip strategy, wild card specifically. We're
going to
put some live video up. You can see how we're thinking, what we're doing. And yeah, I guess with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.